are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The dust has settled. The Hawks and Spurs have made a deal, but it's time to dig in and see just exactly how did the Hawks fan base feel and how did the Spurs fan base feel. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. And this episode is also brought to you by Locked On Hawks. He is Brad Rowland. We are doing a crossover edition of a Locked On show right here to kind of dig into the meat. What happened here? Why did this deal go down? How does it benefit San Antonio? How does it benefit the Hawks? What can Hawks fan base and what can Brad expect from DeJounte Murray? Let's going to welcome in Brad Rowland. He is my colleague at the Locked On NBA Network. Brad, have you taken a deep breath yet? Have you gotten over the fact that it actually happened?
Maybe a little bit. I think it's definitely, it was a couple hours of chaos on Wednesday and really a few days before that of chaos. So yeah, I'm coming up for air at this point, but I'm happy to talk to you about it.
All right. This episode. We appreciate everything. We thank you for locking into Locked On Spurs and Locked On Hawks, free and available wherever you get podcasts. So pick a platform, you get Locked On Hawks, you'll get Locked On Spurs. Do that button thingy, you know, you kids, you press that button for subscribe. Yeah, subscribe to both shows. So Brad, let's get your general reaction first. It was kind of percolating for a while. This rumor, this deal was out in the ether. I mean, it was hot. You know that old expression where there's smoke, there's fire? Yeah, that was this right now. When the deal went down, what were your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was certainly had some time to process it because of how much it was talked about. And it's kind of a push the chips in the middle move for the Hawks. They clearly wanted to do something pretty big during the offseason. And that was sort of out there, you know, months ago, honestly, even during the playoff run, there was kind of talk that they were going to be making some big changes. And Murray checks a lot of boxes for them. They've been looking for a guard to pair with Trae Young can play defense and also score and handle the ball. And that sort of was my first reaction, was like, all right, they finally made their sort of bigger splash move. And for the Spurs, I'm sure you can get into that. But like, it's rebuild time, it seems like, in San Antonio. So that was kind of my immediate reaction on that, on those fronts.
My immediate reaction was no way. I think that was it for me. I didn't think that the Spurs would trade away a homegrown product already going into his prime. This is a team that desperately needed an all-star ahead of last season. I mean, Brad Popovich blatantly comes out and tells the media during preseason last season that this team is devoid of any all-stars, that we don't have any. So here's one that became one. So, okay, now we got something. Now we can work with this, that being DeJounte Murray, and he gets dealt. But, yeah, my reaction again was, no way. Come on. Is this a fake account that's telling me this? That was, like, my other reaction, too. But it was kind of shocking. It was kind of shocking. And to me, as you mentioned, a sign that this team is, yeah, going in a very different direction. But for the Hawks to, as you said, put all their chips in and go for this, was it worth it, though, for I don't want to like knock DeJounte Murray, but he was a fringe all-star. He only got in because Draymond Green got hurt. If Draymond Green is fine, there's no all-star berth for DeJounte Murray. It just seems like a lot for DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, that's a reasonable takeaway. It does feel like the Hawks paid a premium, and they probably know that, you know, not getting any protections on those picks. For one thing, was kind of surprising. I got a lot of feedback from people around the league. They're like, whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot in terms of the downside risk. And I know Hawks fans will say, and I know they have already said to me, like, look, if the Hawks are good, it won't matter. And that is true. But there's always those outcomes where things go wrong and you're trading, you know, sky high picks in, as part of this deal. And the way that I heard somebody put it the other day, I guess it was yesterday, I think it was Nate Duncan said, look, Murray is probably the worst player that's ever had a package, at least in the recent vintage, that was this much capital. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. He's really good, actually. But they did pay a lot for him. And that's okay to sort of recognize that. And the Hawks are pushing their chips in, and they kind of had some motivation to go ahead and do that. But there was no bargain here. There was no discount here. They paid full price for sure.
Yeah, they definitely paid a full price, and it was a very steep price. It's going to get into the details. The Hawks and San Antonio, Danilo Gallinari You know, Brad, maybe I shouldn't get a Danilo Spurs jersey. I should just hold off on that right
probably
now.
Probably not, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. He's likely going to get waived, saving the Spurs a lot more money. Also, the Hawks send a multiple first-round picks, unprotected picks. Yeah, it definitely was a high price for a very good player, DeJounte Murray. But, yeah, you spend that kind of pennies on a top-tier NBA talent. But the Spurs did, at least reportedly, did say there was going to be a high price tag for him. You know, what was that, the Jrue Holiday thing? We expect the Jrue Holiday package, and they got close to it. They didn't get the Jrue Holiday, but, boy, was it steep. Brad, I want to ask you something, though. It started coming out surfacing. Maybe it's just me. I didn't see it, but maybe you did. That it seems that Trae Young and DeJounte Murray had some sort of budding friendship. I think it perhaps maybe started the All-Star game. They seemed to be very, very close. You know, there were, you know, the moment it happened, Trae Young, you know, puts on social media, oh, we're going to make this happen. It's time to rock and roll, you know, to that degree. How much did Trae Young have input in this deal?
That kind of remains to be seen. I've not heard directly, but I will say it certainly doesn't hurt that they are both Clutch clients, and there was a lot of buzz behind the scenes that Trae and DeJounte wanted to play together. Both of them wanted to play together. It wasn't just Trae, but clearly, you know, Trae has influence on some level. He is clearly the franchise player, the guy they are building around, their supermax guy, and clearly they would at least go to him and make sure that it was okay with him. I'm not sure, like, he's a shadow GM or anything like that, but he certainly has some power in the organization in a way that no other player would, for obvious reasons, being their guy. And again, there's all those parallels. I never want to say anything unless I know it, but there's enough people that sort of reported interest between the two of them to play together that may have been a small part of it, at least on some level, and maybe that increased the urgency on the Hawks side. Maybe that sort of lowered their resistance to giving more away in the trade as well, to kind of make Trae happy and make sure that all parties were on the same page. Because especially when you're giving up all this long-term capital, you need to make sure that Trae is healthy, because healthy and also happy, because the worst thing that can happen to you is Trae gets disenchanted with the franchise down the line and wants out right before you have to give up a bunch of picks to the Spurs. So clearly you had to get him on board on some level, and it seems like that he definitely is right now.
You're listening to Brad Rowland. He is host of Locked On Hawks. Excuse me. I am Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs. This is a crossover edition going into what happened. What happened for the trade herd, at least around the world, in the parts of Atlanta and San Antonio. DeJounte Murray going to Atlanta and the Spurs. Blowing it up. Maybe that's the best way to say it. Blowing it up. I think I knew something was up when I was told ahead of the trade that the Clutch reps were in San Antonio and they met with Team Brass. Now, I didn't put it out there on social media because that's all I got. You know, it wasn't because, and they're here because of DeJounte Murray. You know, for all I know, it could have been about Keldon Johnson. For all I know, it could have been about Lonnie Walker, both players as well, represented by Clutch. But the timeline kind of matches up, you know, perhaps why they were in San Antonio to discuss their client with the Spurs Brass. Yeah. It definitely was a high price, but I'll tell you this much. You guys are definitely getting a great, great number two player. And I'll tell you more about that and what that means, especially from the Spurs fan perspective of kind of the thoughts about DeJounte Murray when he was wearing Spurs colors and why some fans didn't think he was it. But before we do that, Brad and I, we want to talk to you about Arcade 1-Up. They got the NBA Jam. Now, for those kids old enough to remember, back in the day, you used to use quarters to play this video game. Not anymore. The NBA Jam game is back. It's going to be a home console. It's brought to you by Arcade 1-Up, the leader in home retro arcade games. Yeah, the best game ever. But this time, it's the Shaq edition. People are obsessed with NBA Jam. I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with an NBA Legends in this arcade classic. Get the ball on fire. Go across the court. You're using real digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through this all-new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. You can pre-order now, arcade1up.com. That's arcade1up.com. Estimated early September ship date. Hey, Arcade 1-Up is the place for fun. They got more classics, Mortal Kombat, Golden Tee. I can tell Brad is getting his thumbs warmed up ready. He wants to play the game right now. It's just starting at $399. Check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shack edition to a Locked On listener. You want to enter a chance to win that console for your man cave? Go to arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number 1up.com/lockedon. You got until July 8th to enter that contest and get yourself an NBA Jam Shack edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today and ask yourself who you're going to play with. We're back with Brad Rowland, host of Locked On Hawks, right here with myself, Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs. We're doing a crossover show discussing the trade between Atlanta and San Antonio, sending DeJounte Murray to the ATL. So, Brad, right before the break here, I told you, what can your fans expect? What can you expect when you're covering the Hawks next season? Now that DeJounte Murray is wearing ATL colors. Defensively, I think you know what you're going to get. Guy led the league in steals 2.0 last year. Was an all-NBA defensive second team member early in his career. I mean, he was the youngest in the NBA history to do that. For a good chunk of last season, was a walking triple-double, nearly average triple-double to end last season. This guy is competitive. So, Brad, let me tell you now. His competitiveness can come out, and it may appear like he's like a bad teammate or a bad player. Don't read into it. I'll bring up some points. There were plenty of times where he and Popovich bumped heads on the sidelines. There was video of it. He's just very fiery. He may come off as low key and, you know, very quiet, you know, in his post game, pre game interviews. You're going to notice that he's very good with media. He's going to answer the questions. He's not going to be snarky. He's not going to try to clown you, as the kids say. You know, he'll answer your questions, and he'll remember your name, and that's great. But when that ball is up in the air and it's showtime, his competitive comes out. He's got a shoving match with James Harden. He pushed away Greg Popovich on the court one time when LMA was about to throw down in a fight. He told Popovich, "I got this," and he just shoved him in his chest. So a competitor. He is a competitor, and he desperately wants to win a title. The moment the Warriors won the 2022 title, he put out there on social media that he wants to get a title. So you're getting a guy that's very, very hungry, very spirited, very in it to win it, so to speak. Still young. The guy has not even entered his prime years yet. So your Hawks definitely got investment that is going to pay dividends beyond next season. And of course, if he does extend and or wants to stay with the Hawks. Brad, is there anything else perhaps you think your listeners will want to know about DeJounte Murray?
Yeah, no, I think it's really useful just because this is a Hawks team that, not that they don't have competitors, but they have not had like the most fiery guys in the world on their roster. Yeah. And that, you know, having some toughness, having some of that grit and some of that fire is probably a good addition just as a personality standpoint. They've kind of said that behind the scenes and even in front of the scenes, like they've not always had the loudest voices on this roster, kind of a passive team and kind of a finesse team in some ways. So that's obviously good to hear. I think the other, you know, a couple of other questions that people have had for me, and I'll sort of shoot them to you. Like, you know, what do you make of his offensive fit next to Trey? Because that's really the big thing. You know, defensively is also part of the conversation because he's not the biggest guy in the world to be playing two full time. But offensively is where people, I'm sure you know, offense draws the eyeballs of a lot of fans, but defense does. So what do you make of the way that might work with him off the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, that's a great question. And look, he was forced to be, quote unquote, the man last season with San Antonio because, you know, I think last season started like their mild rebuild versus right now their complete overhaul. So he got a lot of touches. The offense ran through him. And It worked. You know, he's a slasher. He'll attack. He's very long. He plays the passing lanes very, very well. You're talking about the defensive end and how that end of the court doesn't really get a lot of shine. Let me tell you this. This is how competitive he is on the defensive end. He was apparently keeping track of which players that he stole the ball from last season. So DeMar DeRozan jokingly you know, told him in one of those social media posts that he was talking about, I got the ball from a lot of NBA players. He goes, but you never got it from me. He goes, you never stole the ball from me. So he said, all right, you're next. I mean, that's how much he wants to get it done on the defensive end. So I think you guys are going to be okay with that now. Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about the offensive end. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch because a lot of the touches are going to go to Young. We know that. You know that. And Spurs fans know that. So you're going to see a dip in DeJounte Murray's production. But if and when Trae Young needs a break and gets on that bench, and if it's all DeJounte Murray, watch out. His outside shot is okay. Mid-range is all right. But if you're seeing him lock and load, from the three line, just avert your eyes. I mean, you're going to probably say, like, hey, here we go. You know, DeJounte, stop. I think there's going to be a moment next season when you are going to be, hello, welcome back to Locked On Hawks. DeJounte, stop shooting threes. I think that's what's going to happen next year. He's a work in progress on the outside shot. He's gotten a lot better. His mid-range game has improved. I think that's a byproduct of having DeMar DeRozan on his side for several years. And that was the first thing I noticed when DeMar DeRozan left and it became DeJounte Murray's team, is that I was like, whoa, that's very DeMar DeRozan-esque. And he's really going for the mid-range shot now. So expect to see a lot of that. Good facilitator. I think that's what has been his biggest improvement over the years, especially the last season, is that he started looking for his teammates more. I think that really elevated his game. So you're getting a guy that is a near complete package. But the question is, can he help lead your Hawks beyond, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals? The deepest you've gone recently.
Yeah,
2 years ago. So that's going to be a question. I think having Trae Young at his side is going to help. Having a solid four, right, as of right now, John Collins, if he stays in Atlanta. Clint Capella is going to help create space for him on the offensive end and defensive end. I think it's going to be a really, really good meshing. I don't know if he's going to get another all-star berth, though, because you're going to see a dip in productions mentioned. Playing with Trae Young, you know, that slot's likely going to go to him on the Eastern Conference squad. But he did say after his first all-star berth that he doesn't want to be a one-hit wonder. So hopefully y'all have two All-Stars wearing ATL colors at the All-Star game. Yeah, I mean, it just shocks me that he hasn't even reached his prime yet. And here's the other thing, too, I think your listeners really need to understand is it's not just what you see on the court with him on both sides. It's the fact that when he came into the NBA and drafted in 2016, he was already learning from Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker especially. Tim Duncan. I mean, he was at the end of that big three dynasty. He was just a kid. Let's not forget too, he was also part of the Kawhi Leonard era in San Antonio. He says that Kawhi Leonard is still his guy, that he learned a lot from Kawhi. Hopefully not to leave you guys like the way Kawhi did to San Antonio. But and then of course, you know, there's the Popovich tutelage. And there's the time with LMA and DeMar DeRozan and Rudy Gay. So he's coming in not wet behind the ears. He has a lot of veterans that were on him. And I think that also helped him flourish, as we saw last season. It's funny, though, because you look back at the moment when DeJounte Murray was given the reins to the point guard spot in San Antonio. It was after Tony Parker's devastating leg injury in the playoffs versus Houston. And who carried him off the court? It was DeJounte Murray. So that transition happened there. You know, he was thrust into that position, played well, considering he hadn't really played a lot. So he had been chomping at the bit for his time now. He has been looking forward to this. Even when the Spurs were still trying to change the tires, going 55 miles an hour, hoping to get a playoff berth, he would go on shows and say, wait for our time. It's our time. We don't know yet. I don't know what I'm capable of because I haven't had my time yet, because he was playing behind a lot of great veterans. So here it is, and watch out. It looks like the Hawks. I mean, you guys, it was a no-brainer. It was a no-brainer. It was just, I didn't expect that kind of sticker price, though, Brad.
Yeah, it's same sort of thing for me. Like, it's kind of the basketball fit is one that I like a lot. That's my reaction that I shared on the sort of the immediate was like, look, I get that there's a little bit of worry in some respects about the offense with the shooting we talked about earlier. And he's not the biggest guy defensively, but I generally am pretty high on the basketball fit. He's going to make the Hawks better. He checks a lot of boxes. And the price did surprise me in terms of just the unprotected nature of the picks. You know, having a 7-3 was kind of out there for a while, especially once it became Gallinari. It was always going to be three picks, I think, but three unprotected picks when you include the swap and another one that's protected. It's just it's a lot to pay. But listen, I think the Spurs did a good job of extracting value from the Hawks. And I think that the Hawks did a good job in getting their guy. And that's something that Travis Schlenk, the decision maker for the Hawks, is kind of always like to do. He's not the most value based GM. He's a scout at heart, and he likes to do what he's going to do. He falls in love with guys, and he'll go out and get those guys. And he definitely did that in this time.
He is Brad Rowland, host of Locked On Hawks. I am Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs. You're listening to this crossover edition between Locked On Hawks and Locked On Spurs, discussing the trade between the Spurs and Hawks, sending DeJounte Murray out to the ATL and the Spurs in a massive rebuild. We're not done talking. We've got a few more things to hit with Brad. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's, MLB season, and a lot more out there. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Hey, BetOnline even has the betting odds right now on the Spurs trio of rookies that just drafted. How good are their chances to make or at least get the NBA Rookie of the Year award next season? It's all there. Go find out at betonline.net. BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's the fastest, easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today. You got yourself a mobile device. You got yourself a laptop. Go learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back with Brad Rowland, host of Locked On Hawks. He is joining me here on Locked On Spurs for a crossover edition discussing the trade that just happened recently. DeJounte Murray no longer in San Antonio. He is now a member of the Hawks. Brad, how much does this move push the Hawks into that upper crust in the East?
That's really the big question, right? I mean, clearly they believe this move is going to change their fortunes in the short term. The question is whether they get back to where they were 2 years ago. And there's the underlying thought that they made the conference finals, and everyone knows that. But was that team actually a top two Eastern Conference team that season? That's kind of up for debate, obviously. They were not a top four seed. They had to pull off a couple upsets, the kind of a miracle comeback against Philadelphia, et cetera. I said on my show on Wednesday night that this is the Hawks' best roster they've had at this very moment. This is their best roster since Travis Schlenk and Trae Young arrived. Mm-hmm. This is a better team right now than it was then on paper. Does that mean that they're going to go to the conference finals again? Not necessarily, but in terms of just like actual roster talent, when you swap Gallinari for DeJounte Murray and keep the rest of your core in place, at least as of right now, that makes you a lot better. So they're hoping this is going to be a top four seed in the East, even as soon as next year. There's still be more moves to come, but they definitely believe this is a short-term move that's going to push them way up on the hierarchy. Does that mean that they're going to be better than the Bucks or whoever, the Celtics who just won the East, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Maybe not at this point, but they think that they're going to be right there. And I think that it's reasonable to believe if you are the Hawks that you can do that again because of what you already did 2 years ago, because you still have Trey, you have pretty solid depth, and obviously you believe a lot in Murray.
Yeah. Good move. Good, solid move for Atlanta. It definitely is going to pay off dividends this upcoming season, too. Can you foresee the Hawks already trying to negotiate with Murray about an extension? Because he's coming up on that end of it already.
Yeah, I think they would like to, but because of the way that his deal is structured, I'm sure you've talked about it before, like they can't offer him more than, I think it's like 3 years and 74 million, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that there's no way Murray's taking that deal. I think the Hawks would certainly offer it. They probably already have.
Yeah, they probably have.
I would imagine that they would have at least, hey, go ahead and sign this if you want to. But knowing what we know about Clutch, knowing what we know about just his market value, it would shock me if Murray actually signed that deal. So I think part of this calculus is the Hawks have to know that going in, and they're just going to hope that their bird rights are going to be enough to re-sign him when he becomes a free agent in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that they'll have the leg up on that. And obviously if they have success in the next couple of years, that gives them a leg up as well. But that's part of this too. They have to know that there's a little bit of risk anyway when a guy becomes mm-hmm. unrestricted in 2 years. Right. And they really can't extend him practically because, again, all of the intel is like, you know, Murray's not going to sign that deal. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm sure they'd love it if he would, and they'll offer it to him. But I think they have to plan on him being a free agent in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a smart play. You know, he's definitely going to get more money in free agency than signing an extension. That's another suspected reason why the Spurs decided to make the deal. Yeah. Spurs, massive rebuild. I mean, that's where the San Antonio Spurs are at. You know, Brad, I am old enough to remember when the Spurs came to the NBA. I mean, that's how old I am. I remember when the Spurs were playing in the old Hemisphere Arena and smoking was allowed, kids, in NBA arenas at that time. The last time I saw a rebuild close to this in San Antonio was the for Tim Duncan. Yep. I think that was the last time I saw this type of rebuild, but never at this level where we're trading a known asset. There's under Brian Wright's watch now, you know, trading away a Derek White, you know, that kind of movement. This is a very aggressive rebuild the Spurs are on. And let's face it, Brad, as I mentioned, that's how old I am. I've only seen one major name free agent come to San Antonio in the entire existence of the Spurs franchise, and that was LaMarcus Aldridge. So that tells you that San Antonio is not a destination. It's not a destination for big name, top quality, upper crust free agents. So they have to rebuild through the draft, and now they have a war chest of draft picks. I mean, it's going to be the Oklahoma City and San Antonio drafts for the coming years now. At the rate this is going, this is a massive overhaul. They know it. They know the prize possibly could be a Scoot Henderson or Wembanyama out in France. They understand that they could flip some of these picks, and yes, perhaps still flip some of these young guys that are on the roster. Because let's face it, Brad, nobody on the current Spurs roster is untouchable. There's not. DeJounte Murray should have signaled that to everybody. If they could trade away DeJounte Murray, they could possibly entertain the thought of putting a high price tag on a Keldon Johnson, on a Devin Vassell, on a Josh Primo. I mean, this is a signal that it's going to be some lean years for the Spurs. And again, barring they make any type of major swing. I mean, that's the caveat. For all I know, Brad, they can say, hey, you know, I'm making this up. Hey, Bulls, you guys love picks and some young guys. What do you want for like Zach LaVine? Let's start rebuilding with him or something like that to get themselves a corner piece that they can build around. DeJounte Murray wasn't it. And I think that's also a sign of what the Spurs thought of DeJounte Murray. If he really was coveted, if he really was, that's our guy, that's our face of the franchise, you know, with three first round picks, Hawks, no, throw in John Collins to give us another one. You know, I mean, it probably would have been a steeper price. But this is a signal to the world that the Spurs are on a very deep rebuild. I still think, Brad, that they can get about 30 wins next season. I think they're capable of doing that, even without DeJounte Murray. So we'll definitely see. Hey, Brad, tell everybody how they can check out Locked On Hawks and to subscribe to your show.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you you doing this, and it's a new frontier for the Spurs, new frontier for the Hawks. Yeah. I think that we kind of both agree by our comments that Murray is best suited not being the number one guy in the franchise.
Yeah,
I think that makes sense on both sides, and the Spurs are tearing it down. But I know your listeners know this, but just for my listeners' sake, the Spurs missed the playoffs once in like 30 years, and the year they missed the playoffs, they got Tim Duncan out of it. So like, good on you guys, I suppose, in San Antonio.
Wembanyama, Wembanyama.
Yeah, maybe they'll do it again this time around. But as far as finding me and my show, of course, Locked On Hawks on all the same platforms. You can find Locked On Spurs, YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. Also on mm-hmm. Twitter at Locked On Hawks, and I am on Twitter at BT Roland. Mostly Hawks stuff there, but I can also cover the Atlanta Braves and the rest of the NBA as well. So some musings on that end, and I really do appreciate you having me for this crossover event that was certainly due after the big trade.
Oh, for sure. You know, hey, you know, I don't know if this qualifies, as the kids say, as meta, but I actually was watching Locked On Hawks reaction last night on my TV, on YouTube, in bed with the, you know, recovering from all the drama. And I heard you say, you know, I'm going to have somebody on the San Antonio side come in, you know, and talk about this. And I woke up this morning and I see you saw your email. So I'm like, whoa, this is freaky. This is weird. But it's a great show. Locked On Hawks. You know, everybody should be tuning in, subscribing to it right now. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. Same platforms as Locked On Hawks. You can find Locked On Spurs, YouTube. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Hawks or Locked On Spurs. So yeah, there's no excuse for you to not check out any Locked On NBA show. We are everywhere. And thanks for making Locked On Spurs and Locked On Hawks your first listen each and every day. Now for your second listen, get up today on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA is your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Brad, before I let you go, Spurs do remember the Dominique Wilkin era in San Antonio. That was fun. That was fun. But for Brad Rowland, I am Jeff Garcia. We are going to put a lock on this crossover episode of Locked On Spurs and Locked On Hawks.